Hello and welcome to the Institute Talks, the Institute's very own podcast channel, keeping you at the heart of the conversation on all things apprenticeships and technical education.
Hi, I'm Jamila Simpson, the Multiverse Community Programs and Networks Associate. I joined Multiverse early last year after completing my digital marketing qualification as an apprentice at Google. I'm also an apprentice panel member and your host for this podcast. Today we're joined by Amy. Amy, did you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Hello, my name's Amy Marin. I am a level 7 solicitor apprentice. I work in-house at BPP as well as studying with BPP. I'm also a retired double Paralympic swimmer, just to add things to the mix a little bit. I've been in my role now, I've been at BPP now since February 2017, so well established and enjoying myself too.
Wow, level 7, that's absolutely amazing. What drew you into an apprenticeship?
So I think my apprenticeship journey, so to speak, hasn't really been as straightforward as me just deciding one day that I wanted to do an apprenticeship. So I finished my A-levels in the June of 2016 and I went to a sixth form school. So I think with sixth form schools, there's quite a big push towards going to university. So for me, I thought that was really the only option. So naturally, I followed the course and I started at a university in the September of 2016. After coming back from Rio. So it was fair to say there's a fair bit on my plate at that point. Decided that the university life really wasn't for me. So I made the decision to leave and started applying for apprenticeships in the January of 2017. Wasn't 100% sure on the industry that I wanted to be in, but what really appealed to me was the whole dynamics of working and studying at the same time. I think I'm much more of a practical hands-on person, so the experience I get of learning alongside established people in that industry, so professionals, I think is invaluable.
Oh, that's good. At least you had like the experience of going to university, you realised that wasn't really for you, and then you went to apprenticeships and now you're really enjoying it, I'm assuming. So you found your niche.
I found my niche. That's a nice way to put it. I feel like I need that on a t-shirt.
I can send you a t-shirt with that printed on.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love that. Parade that around the streets. Go to the next panel meetings with it on. I'd love it.
That'd be amazing. So I'm really interested to know more about your solicitor's apprenticeship. And like anyone listening and myself, I don't fully understand what a solicitor's job is. So could you explain what's involved in your solicitor's apprenticeship?
So to give you a bit of background, the solicitor apprenticeships and the paralegal apprenticeships were introduced just to make the industry and the whole world of law a little bit more accessible to people. I think it's quite an old-fashioned industry that there's just one normal route. So you do your law degree, you do your legal practice course, a two-year training contract, and then you'd fall into a job hopefully at the end of it. So my apprenticeship is basically all of those levels and all of those exams and that whole process just condensed into one big program with the intention of sitting the solicitor's qualifying exam at the end, which again is another thing that's been introduced just to make the industry that little more a bit accessible to everyone. I think it's really cool that they're doing that now. It's nice to know that you're part of this new dynamic workforce that is going to bring a bit of a change. So like I said, combining that practical aspect with the academic aspect. My day-to-day role, I'm in-house, so it might vary a little bit depending on if you're in private practice or in-house. So I will do simple document reviews, document comparisons. I do a lot of international expansion work. I do data protection mostly day-to-day. So it really, really varies across. And I mean, it'll vary from, like I said, drafting or reviewing documents to potentially giving advice to the business and anywhere in between. So it's a really, really wide scope that I work alongside. But I think that's the beauty of being an apprentice is that I'm not just isolated to that one aspect, and I am learning everything that I'm learning in my studying. I'm also learning within the workplace, and the two are coming together quite nicely.
Wow, it does sound like you're involved in a lot of things, and like you said, that's great for you because you can kind of dip your toes in different areas and see which ones you like best.
That's what it is. But I think I think being a young person, we all have that fear that you don't want to make the decisions too quickly and decide your life before you're ready. So it's quite nice, yeah. Like you said, just dip in and out and see, actually, that does interest me, and actually, that one doesn't interest me so much.
Yeah, so interesting. I love hearing about apprenticeships in industries that I didn't think would offer an apprenticeship. And I didn't know that a solicitor apprenticeship, for example, was a thing before speaking to you today. So thank you for educating me.
I think that's so cool being part of the panel as well, is that I didn't think that half of the apprenticeships that exist on the panel ever existed. I only thought it was really sort of the really traditional industries that you'd have. But it's so great to see that apprenticeships are coming so far. And I think the stigma's kind of coming away from an apprentice as well.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of had that stigma before I did my apprenticeship of, oh, all apprenticeships are in construction or engineering or like really hands-on fields. But the fact that you can be in an office and be an apprentice, I didn't know until I started mine in 2018. So it's absolutely amazing. And we've come a long way, definitely.
We're doing it together.
Cool. Do you have any plans of what you'd like to do when you finish your apprenticeship?
So I am only actually in my third year at the moment, so I've still got quite a long way ahead of me. I suppose I'm quite lucky in that my apprenticeship, as soon as I finish it, my view would be to be a qualified solicitor and go into practice. I'm still too early on to decide whether or not that will be private practice in a firm or whether I'd like to stay in-house and stay at a company. But I'm really lucky that the company that I work for, BPP, they're really supportive of sort of my vision and what I want to do. So they took me on as a paralegal apprentice, and they sort of felt the waters a little bit and saw if I wanted to be a solicitor apprentice first of all. So I'm very well supported, so I know the next direction I do go in, I'll be looked after, and I will get to that end goal, hopefully.
And can I just ask, how long is your whole apprenticeship lasting for?
So the standard solicitor apprenticeship is just 6 years. But because I did the, it's long. So because I did my paralegal, that was 2 years. But it also means I get an exemption year for the solicitor. So all in all, both of them will be 7 years together. So it's definitely in it for the long haul. And I think I'm glad that I did that paralegal apprenticeship in hindsight, because I know that I definitely had an interest in what I'm in now. I think it would have been very, very difficult to day one and turn up and think this is life for the next 6 years. So it's quite nice to have that break between the two.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a trial run before you fully committed to it.
Definitely, yeah. And I was really, really lucky that, like I said, I've been really well supportive, and I'm enjoying both. I've enjoyed my first apprenticeship. I'm enjoying my second. So we'll just see where it takes, I guess. It's exciting.
It is exciting. I'm excited for you. Cool. So earlier on, you mentioned that you were a Paralympian. Can you tell me a bit more? Like, have you won any medals? What did you do?
Yes. So I actually went to 2 Paralympic Games. So I competed in London 2012 and Rio 2016. The whole idea of being a Paralympian isn't just, you perform once every 4 years. It's actually a 4-year cycle. So in between those Paralympics, we'd have British championships, we'd have European championships, world championships. So it's a constant rolling of competitions. Without sounding too big headed, I'd like to say I was successful. So I was 2 times European champion. I was 4 times world champion, and I won a bronze medal in Rio. So to me, they're big achievements. It's a very, very personal thing. Lots and highs and lows in between that, but I know that retiring in February last year was definitely the right decision for me. I loved my time competing. Wouldn't have taken it back for the world, really. I mean, I got to travel all over the place. I've got friends in every corner of the planet that I don't think I ever would have had if I hadn't had that opportunity to compete. So yeah, very, very, very grateful, but also kind of relieved that that chapter's done now and I'm on this new chapter of being a young professional. So yeah, a bit of a switch. I keep saying to myself, I just must not like an easy life. Like, why am I not just happy and content just sitting doing nothing? But yeah, really enjoyed my sporting career and it's quite nice to look back on it and tell people about my achievements, I guess. I think you don't often get the opportunity when you're a sports person. And, you know, I've kind of explained about that 4-year cycle. You don't often get the opportunity to sit back and appreciate what you have achieved. So it's nice to be able to talk to someone new and say, actually, I did this.
I mean, everyone loves a challenge, right? And I think there's no way you're being big-headed at all, because those are pretty big achievements and you should be really proud of yourself for getting them.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I feel like everyone's got their own achievements that they hold dear. So yeah, those are mine. Those are definitely mine. Some days it's just getting out of bed in the morning. This whole lockdown life, you know what it's like. Some days just getting out of bed in the morning is an achievement in itself.
Yeah, it's not easy, is it?
No.
Cool. So you are one of our newest recruits on the apprentice panel, and I'm interested, what made you apply to join the panel?
So there was a few different reasons. I actually became first aware of the apprenticeship panel through LinkedIn. So I think LinkedIn is kind of like the corporate Facebook, right? So you're just scrolling through, and I was scrolling through on the train, and it just caught my eye, and I thought, do you know what? I've enjoyed my apprenticeship so much, and I'm on my second apprenticeship now, and I just really, really love to give my input and my experiences and just see apprenticeships go even further. Like, it's, I think because I've got so much from my apprenticeships, it made sense for me to want to give back to more. I also have one hand, so the fact that I could give sort of the disability aspect to the panel, I think really interested me, because as well as the stigma around apprenticeships, I think there's also a stigma around disabled people in the workplace. So if I could represent both sides of that and talk about something that I'm really, really passionate about, it all just kind of made sense. And I've seen a few of the other apprentices that are on the panel too. I've read their bios and stuff, and it's nice to know that in the back of our mind, we've all got that mission that all we want to do is just make apprenticeships better.
Yeah,
so they were my reasons.
Just hearing you talk about that now, I can like really hear the passion that you have.
It's just important. I think it shouldn't. Education isn't just a one size fits all approach, which I kind of thought it was. I thought to be successful, you had to go to university and you had to get a degree. Never even entertained the thought of possibly getting a degree another way. So the fact that I've found that way, I kind of want to tell people about it all the time. And I go to a fair, to fairs and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, no, like, consider an apprenticeship. Don't just think you've got to do this. You'll learn so much just by looking into it.
Yeah, I used to do the same when I was doing my apprenticeship. I went to lots of, well, whilst we could in person, I went to lots of schools and assemblies and careers fairs, and not even for my satisfaction of like sharing my experience, but just telling young people about apprenticeships, because they don't have that support mostly in school.
I agree.
So being that voice is just.
Do you think you've seen a shift in the approach to apprenticeships over the last few years?
Yeah, definitely. I went back to my college a few times, and when I was a student there, there was no support whatsoever for apprenticeship. It was all uni. But since going back the first time, they now do a whole fair on apprenticeships, and they invite lots of different apprentices coming in. It's amazing to see.
It's so, so nice. And I'm glad that you've had a similar experience to me. Yeah. I honestly just want to shout about apprenticeships from the rooftops, because I think they can bring so much to the right person.
Yeah, definitely. Whilst we're on the topic of the apprentice panel, what do you want to achieve by being on it?
So in terms of achievement, I think initially I'd like to feel nice and settled within the panel. I would definitely like to get to know the panel members better. I think the opportunity that we've been given to ask the minister questions is actually quite special. So hopefully from that, I'm looking to, well, have my question answered, which would be quite nice. And also just explore a little bit more about the panel and the way it works, I suppose. My biggest achievement that I'd like to get to would just get apprenticeships to a place where there's not a stigma around them. Apprenticeships are well known, people know how to look into getting an apprenticeship, and questions can just be answered, I guess. I wouldn't say it's a personal goal, I'd say it's more of a collaborative team effort from the panel.
Yeah, I joined the apprentice panel around March last year, and I haven't actually been able to meet anyone in person yet. It's all been through because of lockdown. But because we work quite closely together, especially now with the Best Practices Handbook, I've been able to get to know some of them actually quite nicely. And we've built up a connection already, and I'm hoping that we can all meet sometime soon in person, because that would be really nice.
I think so. And I think, I don't know if you have the same experience, but I'm the only apprentice in my team. So sometimes I think as an apprentice, because you're studying independently and, you know, you go to work and you are part of a team there, you can feel quite isolated. So it's nice to be in touch with people that are either on the same program as you or are an apprentice themselves. It's definitely not an easy path to take. So I think the more people that are like you can surround yourself with, the better off you'll be for it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was in a cohort in my company with 14 other apprentices, so I was lucky to have that internal network. But it's been amazing meeting other apprentices who do different levels, different industries, different qualifications, because I wouldn't have known about them if I didn't join the panel.
Yeah, definitely. That's really, you've got me all excited now. Now I can't wait to meet people.
I'm sure you'll have the chance to over the next few months, definitely. And my final question to you, Amy, is, have you got any advice for people thinking about doing an apprenticeship?
My best piece of advice for anyone that's considering an apprenticeship would be, make sure you do your research on all of the available apprenticeships out there. So like I said, for me, I wasn't 100% certain on the industry. I kind of had an idea, but it wasn't set in stone. I use the government website a lot, and me and my mum had countless evenings where we sat down and tried to sift through. So I would say maybe find an interest first of all, and that's probably the best starting point. From that interest, maybe identify the things you're good at, the things you're not so good at, and also the effort that you're willing to put in. I cannot stress that it's not an easy route. That's not what apprenticeships are. You know, they are very, very tough in terms of, so you have to be independent with everything that you do. So those were, I said one piece of advice, but that's probably a lot contained in one. So definitely be sure of what you'd like to do and your interests, and kind of go from there. I don't think you can always rule out an apprenticeship over university. It's probably the biggest learning curve that I've had.
I love that. I would have probably said the exact same thing in terms of advice, because you thrive in doing what you love.
Exactly.
So find your passion and then build it on that.
And even if you don't have a passion, like, just try and dig deep. I'm sure there's something that would spark your interest. I knew that I was interested in law at GCSE level. So I kind of went very, very back to basics in terms of that career choice. But it might be something that, you know, you stumble on in your free time. It might be parts of a newspaper that you're more intrigued to read in, that kind of stuff. So sometimes it's not always going to hit you in the face, but that passion will be there.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Amy. That's all we have time for in today's episode. I want to say a huge thank you to Amy again for taking the time. You're welcome. For taking the time to tell us about your apprenticeship experience and being so open and honest and inspiring today. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening, and look out for our next episode. Bye.